have been looking at a series here about biblical leadership. We've looked at some of the individuals and the principles found in the Old Testament. We have looked in the New Testament at some of the leadership positions, the scribes and the Pharisees. We kind of looked at the negative example they gave. Hope you did your homework. It was to read Ezekiel 34, and we see what a horrible example that shepherds of God's people should not be. Last week, we looked at some of the leadership, such as the apostles, which they are no longer with us, but we do have, in God's providence, he just didn't leave us without leadership. He has scheduled us to have elders. And we will be looking, starting this morning, at the elders as are displayed in the New Testament. Now, there are a number of different words that are used in the Greek in the New Testament for the same concept as elders. Things like bishop, overseer, the word elder, and shepherd. Those are different words in the Greek, but they are used almost interchangeably. They are synonyms of each other. They have the same responsibilities. And sometimes some of the different words are used in a verse, but they are all interchangeable. You've got the word episkopos, you've got the word presbyteros, and poimen. And again, when you do your own study and you go to different Bible apps that show it in the Greek, you may see different Greek words for meaning the same thing. The duties of an elder, it's more than just a title. And I hope that we are preparing ourselves. Men, I hope that we are trying to prepare ourselves, hopefully, to be an elder someday. It's not for everybody. It's not, you just don't wake up one day and say, oh, I think I want to be an elder today. It's a process. You prepare yourself to be an elder. I look at some of the young men in the audience that you may be starting to prepare yourselves right now while you're in school to be an elder someday in the future. The young ladies, prepare yourselves to be the wife of an elder someday. Some of the duties, and like I said, it's not just a title. We focused on that concept weeks ago. A lot of people like to have a title attached, but they don't necessarily know or want to do what is required. The duties of an elder are hard. Not that I want to scare anybody away from being an elder. It is one of spiritual leadership. You're taking on your shoulders spiritual guidance, spiritual leadership, and responsibility. You've got to be able to teach as an elder. You've got to be able to teach sound doctrine. To teach something, you've got to know it. But not only teach, you've got to sometimes be able to defend it. And there is a difference between that. There is a difference between being able to teach something and then when it comes nitty-gritty time, have to defend it. Unfortunately, there's plenty of instances where people that know the truth haven't stepped up and defended the truth. They will let false teaching slide. An elder not only has to teach sound doctrine, but has to defend it. They have to sometimes correct people lovingly. Not just bring the hammer down on somebody, but teach them with all long-suffering and teaching to save the soul. Because they're in that role of spiritual guidance and leadership. Not only do they need to correct, sometimes there comes the point of disciplining Christians. Those that do not take the correction. He's first I've ever, the unteachables, as Tracy says, kind of coined that phrase, the unteachables that won't be corrected, won't look at the scriptures. Sometimes you have to discipline. You have to protect the flock. Sometimes from without, and sometimes from even within. Protecting the flock from without is a lot easier. Because a lot of times it's more obvious. And a lot of times you have the support of the flock. I look at American history, which I teach. The United States, I look at World War II, how we united together with common enemies from without. I look at Korea, how our country was united fighting communism abroad. See, it's interesting how the first half of my life we were fighting communism abroad, and the second half of my life we've been fighting communism from within. That's the scary part. Elders sometimes have to protect the flock from within, where emotions come into play, where people come into play, people that you've known maybe for years and years that want to bring in maybe unsound doctrine. They've got to protect the flock from without and from within. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders. He's talking to a group of elders. And he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It's worth protecting. It's worth shepherding. Because that church, us, has been purchased with the blood of Christ. And Paul is telling the Ephesian elders, you be good overseers. You do your job and you shepherd the church. Peter, which James read to us this passage, Peter, who also was an elder, not only was he an apostle, but he was an elder. A double whammy there. And he's writing, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. It's not just a title. You've got to be leading through example. An elder should be the biggest servant of the congregations. To lead, one has to know the flock. We will look at that in qualifications a little bit later. But it's not a CEO position. Those of you that are in the corporate world, you know, many times you have a CEO that just sends out memos and everybody has to follow. A lot of times, people that work in a corporation or a company, they've never even met who the leader is. Don't even know. Maybe you have a chance passing meeting of an individual, but an elder is totally different. They have to know the flock. Know them inside and out. They know who they are, who they're overseeing. And it's being a shepherd is one of sacrifice and duty and one of hard work and unfortunately criticism. It's kind of like a referee. A referee doesn't make a call in a sporting event that somebody doesn't criticize it. An elder should be making the sound, mature decisions, and sometimes immature Christians get their toes stepped on and don't like it. And sometimes elders have to face the criticism. And again, I don't want to scare anybody from ever desiring to be an elder. But that's what an elder is. In Titus 1, we've got a number of passages that give out the qualifications and how important an elder's job is and the position of an elder. And Paul will write to Titus in the first chapter, and in verse 5 it says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." A church can be sound. A church can be sound in worship, in deed, in attitude. But if they don't have elders, it's lacking what God's design was. When I read this verse, I think of us at South Valley. We are sound. And I commend the men that with the absence of elders have stepped up and make sure that this congregation is going in the right direction doctrinally, with the decisions that are made, and stand up and teach sound doctrine, sometimes correct unsound doctrine, and sometimes have had to discipline people that have not taught sound doctrine. But the should set in order the things that are lacking. One thing this congregation is lacking is elders. Not for the lack of desire. Not for the lack of not knowing. We rather than try to pound a square peg in a round hole, we haven't had elders yet. I hope someday that will change in the future. And it might be some of you young people preparing yourselves for that role. God has not just left us to grapple in the dark. He's never required anything of his people that he didn't set forth the standard ahead of time. In 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus, the first chapter, God has given us fairly detailed. And if in this series, we've seen a pattern throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, of requirements of what God expects. And he doesn't slacken his expectations for people. That he expects people to live up to it. In 1 Timothy, Paul will write to his beloved Timothy, starting in verse 1, he says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." And then in Titus, right after, remember verse 5, he says, "I left you in Crete for you to appoint elders, the things that are lacking." Then he goes into an almost identical account of requirements. Starting in verse 6 says, "If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Those two lists of qualifications, many of the qualifications even use the same wording. Nothing special, I have broken those qualifications down into three kind of different categories. There is a category of personal character that a man who's an elder has to fall into. Certain qualities individually for his character. There are family requirements. It's not just him, but family requirements and the one of spiritual maturity, spiritual guidance. Next week, we're going to look at the character aspect of these qualifications. I hope, my goal is that all of these lessons have been linked together and hopefully flow. That's my goal. And if they haven't, that's my fault. But that's the goal, that whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, God's design for leadership, there are some concepts that are universal. Next week, we're going to look at the character requirements of the qualifications for an elder. We never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation. If there are those of you that have not put your Lord on in baptism, that's one of the things in your belief that is lacking, as using words from Paul, you have to be baptized to be saved. If there's sin in your life and you need to repent, I urge you to repent. Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there is something on your heart that you need your brothers and sisters to pray with you and for you, by all means, let that be known. Whatever your need, as Kurt leads us in the invitation song, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known. We will address those. Wanted to remind everybody again tonight of our worship at 5:30 and our potluck that will follow. Let's stand and sing.